If you could turn with me, please, to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. We read the first 7 verses of the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. You'll know from your Sabbath school days, it's Psalms and Proverbs, and then comes this portion of Scripture, Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, as it's also known. This is the Word of God. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore virgins love you. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will exult and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. I am very dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem. Like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not gaze at me because I am dark, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you pasture your flock, where you make it lie down at noon. For why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? Amen. And our text this evening is those first 4 verses we read in Song of Solomon chapter 1. Song of Solomon 1:1-4. The 1976 Eurovision Song Contest, though I'm not a great follower of contemporary music, as my children will testify, the 1976 Eurovision Song Contest was won by the UK entry, I wonder do you remember or recall it, A Brotherhood of Man. And can you remember the song that they won the contest with? Kisses for Me, Save All Your Kisses for Me. And the punchline, of course, was, Even Though You're Only 3. And what the secular artist recorded, the sacred singer Solomon now sings with his bride. Here is his bride's wish. It's betrayed for us. As she thinks of her beloved, one thought fills her mind. Kisses for me, save all your kisses for me. Verse 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. What does Song of Songs mean? Well, Song of Songs, like Holy of Holies, the most holy place, and King of Kings, the supreme king, is just a very Jewish way of saying, this is the best ever song. There are unrivaled lyrics and themes contained in this Song of Songs. This is the Mount Everest of the music world. Solomon, called Jedidiah elsewhere, whose name means beloved by Yahweh the Lord, marshals all his God-given wisdom, and it was considerable, wasn't it? To compose this song, this poem of love. What's it about? Well, do we hear in this song 2 married hearts of boy and girl, of man and woman, beat in time and in tune with each other? We certainly do. But surely, in the context of Scripture, whose centre is Christ, this song points ultimately to the love of Christ for his church. I suppose ultimately we could say this book says, from Christ, I love you, my church, my people. So what's the purpose of this book? Well, it's to celebrate human love firstly, but chiefly to kindle, to stir, to revive, to infuse Christian love. What do you do when your fire dies, if you still have an open hearth coal fire, or maybe it's anthracite you burn? Well, you say, where's the Belfast Telegraph, don't you? Or some magazine, maybe your newsletter people in Trinity here. And you take the paper and you open it out and you stretch it across the opening of the fire above the hearth, and it draws a draft. And those embers, which were almost out, what happens? They begin to glow, don't they? And the black turns red, and the red turns into coals that burst into life. Matthew Henry says of this section, where there is a fire of true love to Christ in the heart, this will be of use to blow it into flame. So that's my prayer this evening, and I hope it's yours as we embark on this brief tour, the first four verses of the Song of Songs, that our hearts would be kindled, revived with love for Christ. Is there any more wonderful theme when it touches Christian experience? Love for the one who first loved us. See four things. Firstly, captivating love. Captivating love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Who are you talking about? You haven't named the groom. All she says is his kisses. You see, her ladies-in-waiting know the love of this woman's heart. The guy all the girls are head over heels in love with. The one who has stolen her heart and now fills the dreams of her thoughts. Not Kate's William, but the kisses of King Solomon. And so with the Christian, transfixed with the love of Christ. If you're a Christian this evening, is it not a truism to say Christ means to us more than all the world? The leap of the soul when Christ is near and we sense him present surely is a temperature gauge of a lively, healthy faith and close walk with our Saviour. Matthew Henry again says this, because Christ is the darling of all the pure in heart, let him be ours, and let our desire be towards him and towards the kisses of his mouth. Surely this settles one question in our minds this evening. Christianity is a whole heart religion that spills over into a joyful life, which is centered around Christ. What else could this Christian faith be? With a God who is love, but a relationship of love that touches the depths of our being. His loving kindness, his grace, is a key foundation, principle, and tenet of the law and the gospel. Listen to the law. Love the Lord your God. Just a tiny, tiny thimbleful bit. It's not what the law says with all your heart and your soul and your mind, with everything that you've got, the lot. He loved you before creation. He took your human flesh. He suffered for your guilt to capture your heart in covenant love. His love for you surely means this if we understand it, and the more we understand it, His love means that you love Him too. Surely it's an empty shell reformed faith that leaves the soul frigid and mechanical and hard. Are you cold this evening, child of God? Seek His kiss. Seek His kiss. Secondly, we see it's an exhilarating love. It's an exhilarating love. Verse 2b, for your love is better than wine. Has the beloved of Solomon tasted the delight of wine? Well, she states very plainly, does she not, I put it to you, that the joy and thrill of the love of the king is far to be preferred to any wine. And will we not say the same? That the love of the God-man far outstrips the best vintage. Now, wine does bring joy to folks. Go into Marks and Spencer's in Forestside in southeast Belfast, or maybe it's the Abbey Centre down here, Tesco's, and you'll see that people can't get enough of the joy that wine brings. One day, I was walking through M&S, and there was a full aisle, both sides with a centre stacking area, arrayed with various bottles. Bordeaux, Chianti, Riesling, and so forth. For what end and purpose? To bring human joy for a good night's crack, as they say. Gone in the morning. Gone. It doesn't last. But not Christ's love. The exhilarating, thrilling love of Christ lasts and is more pure and lovely than the best wine has to offer. This love revives when we're in the depths, when we're in difficulty, and even at the point of death. One has written this, who can cheer the heart like Jesus by His presence, all divine, true and tender, pure and precious? Oh, how great to gall Him mine. All that thrills my soul, he says, is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000. In my blessed Lord, I see. I think that man was recently kissed by Christ when he wrote those words. Thrilled, exhilarated by His love. What are these kisses I'm commending to you? Well, what is a kiss? A kiss is a personal display of affection aimed to communicate love. When does this happen with Christ? As scripture is read, as sermons are preached, as psalms are sung, you know, people come out to me and said, you know, as we sang the fourth verse of that psalm, my heart leapt with joy. That's a kiss of Christ, undoubtedly. As prayers are offered in pews, on knees, at bedsides, when the brethren are assembled, and we sense Christ near. Those Road to Emmaus moments we have, when the fog in our minds clears and we see the beauty, the excellence, the worth of the Saviour, and heartburn rules. Joy is felt, gloom is lifted, light shines, hope dawns again, peace floods over our hearts as the love of Christ is shown. Have you never had the peck on the cheek from his cries of Calvary, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Ah, for me, you say, the love of Christ. Now, as he wrestles in Gethsemane and sweats like blood, as he calms the storms on Galilee, he draws near to our souls. When you worship your Creator, when you cling to your Redeemer, and when you lift your heart and bless the one who has provided all the blessings that encase and unfold your life each day, your families, your homes, your loved ones, those answers to prayers and those amazing provisions in your life that you never even thought to pray for, those people that come to you and bring such help and blessing, those sudden power surges of the Lord when you feel so weak and you're strengthened, all these things and more whisper the sweet love of Christ to the ear of our soul. Can you know nothing of the kiss of Christ and be a Christian? Interesting question. But if his kisses are rare, let's pray for more. Save all your kisses for me. But we see also, thirdly, it's fragrant love in verse 3. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. In those days, fragrances weren't made by steeping pebbles for long periods in alcohol. There were no glass bottles of Old Spice, I'm showing my age, a Calvin Klein or Nina Ricci. The oil-based fragrance was encased in resin and housed in jars, wasn't it? And when the jar was broken, like the lady who anointed Christ, what happened? The scent and the perfume and the fragrance leaked out and filled the room. The lover's senses were stirred. That's what your love is like, says this bride to her royal King Solomon. And is that therefore also not what the faintest scent of the fragrance and perfume of the gospel of Jesus is like to the nose of your soul, Christian, disciple, follower? His love, the sweetest perfume. His name, the most wonderful stirring fragrance. The soul inhales and we're dizzy with joy. Maybe you've had this experience too. I'm not saying that I have. When the love of your heart passes by in a crowd, and you know their distinctive scent, and you may not see their face, and they may be some distance, they may even have passed, but the trace of the fragrance is left, and it lights upon the lining of your nose, and your heart skips. He's there.
She's there.
So with Christ's blessed name of love. The name, of course, in Scripture stands not just for a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord, but for everything that a person is and does, their whole entire reputation and personhood. And so it is with Christ, his divine origins, his stable birth in the manger. How low he stooped, Edwards would say, from an infinite height. His beautiful, excellent, noble life. Those lips from which gracious words tumbled. His full obedience. His voluntary, willing sacrifice. His derelict cry. But when he shows Thomas those wounds and says, "Thomas, believe." I'm going to challenge the poet this evening, though I'm not a poet myself, and so I'm on dangerous ground here. He says, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear." Let's alter that a little, tweak it. How sweet the name of Jesus smells in a believer's nose. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his woes. How the Bible perfume bottle, which holds his name before us. Matthew Henry says again, "The unfolding of Christ's name is as an opening of a box of precious ointment in which the room is filled with the odour of." That's a lovely thought, isn't it? That our hearts would be filled with the fragrance of the name of Christ. Is this what our devotions are like? So often, isn't it true, they're not? Is this what the times of prayer in Trinity are like, where the name of Christ rises with fragrance as the brothers and sisters are gathered? Should we not pray, not just for ourselves, we should pray that, but also for all the Christian brothers in Belfast? That increasingly in these days, when the love for Christ is so dim and low, that we might be blessed by the heaven-sent scent of the fragrance of the Christ. We see also, finally, that it's sovereign love. It's sovereign love, verse 4. "Draw me after you. Let us run. I want to go hand in hand," she says. How she longed to see the king for a stroll in the garden. But there's protocol to observe with kings. Isn't that right? You don't burst into Buckingham Palace and say, "Right, Queen, let's go." You wait to be summoned by the king. And this King Solomon must call her out for love. And so also with the believer. We cannot come ourselves. If we are to know his kiss, he must come and he must call and he must draw. And how does he draw us? Well, surely he makes us willing by his word and spirit. There's a supernatural magnetism and gravity generated by the Word, which draws us into communion with Christ, as Hosea reminds Israel, with cords of kindness. Jesus states clearly in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him," speaking of true conversion. But also, I think, this is also true and correct until we reach glory. unless the tug-of-war champion grace draws us, we would have neither the desire or power to overhaul the bungee rope of the world, flesh and devil, the slowness of heart, the love of lesser loves, that bungee rope which pulls us back. Do we long to know the kisses of Christ this evening? Well then, we must pray humbly in our weakness, in our incapacity. Draw me, Lord, draw me. You may have heard of the ex-singer, hippie, turned gospel singer, Keith Green. His wife, Melody, wrote the famous song, "There's a Redeemer." He was killed in a plane crash. But before he was killed and brought to the place with Christ, which is better by far, he wrote these warm words of devotion. Listen to what he writes. "Draw me, oh, draw me. Please draw me, my Jesus. Into your presence where I cannot lie. My soul is so thirsty," he says. "I cannot endure it. And if I don't get closer, I surely will die." Keith Green didn't sing psalms, but his devotion might often put some of us to shame. Let this voice from the grave stir you to prize, to seek, to crave, to long and pant and hunger for a closer walk with Christ, to prize Christ above all loves. Do you pant this evening for Christ's captivating, exhilarating, fragrant, sovereign love? This girl does. Does this girl? As individual believers, as various homes represented, as the whole of the church. May the cry of Trinity in this day and in many other days, increasingly with greater hunger, be kisses for us. Save all your kisses for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we talk of these things, when we think of your great love for us, as we have any perception at all, O God, of the coldness and the proneness of the coldness of our hearts, Father, our hearts are broken and melted in your presence. Father, your love, which drew the plan of salvation and chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless in your sight, implemented by the Mediator, Christ the Son, Father, who came to this world to bring many sons to glory, and by suffering in their place as the guilt bearer and substitute for sin, he might deal with their guilt and bring them into a bond of everlasting covenant love. Father, forgive us. If we need to be broken this evening, humble us. But above all, O God, cause us to seek you and to admire and be devoted to and to hunger and thirst after the love of Christ and the peace of Christ, whose height and depth and length no man knows or can fathom. Father, forgive us and cleanse us from the lack of love for one who first loved us stir us, revive us, and fan love for Christ and devotion to Him into flame in our hearts. And may we burn brightly with that love. These things we ask for the glory of God. Amen.